A few more comments from you on whether it concerns you that the government may be watching you. Is there a need for government surveillance? From Texas, unfortunately, yes. Our enemies will always be looking for a weakness, and if they know they can communicate electronically without fear of monitoring, it reduces our ability to defend against terrorism. Jacksonville Beach, Florida. What I search on Google is even more private than speech. It's thought. I search my darkest fears and deepest curiosities. If online posts are tied to you, how can you comfortably dissent? Whoever said dissent would be comfortable? Finally, this hour, if you're entertained by the X-Files, there's a new X-Files coming up. If a paranoid sense of being watched is plausible enough for you to love this show as entertainment, would you be equally interested in a documentary series that covers some of the same ground, without alien storylines, of course, stories of government intrusion, a conspiracy to disrupt people using their democratic rights to make change and getting thwarted? Further, would such a documentary experience compel you to take action based on what you saw? Well, this is the premise of a new series for the Pivot Channel, a holding of the Skoll Foundation's Participant Media Ventures. For years, it has funded media projects which it believes can spur people into action. The new series, Truth and Power, is a case in point.
The technology is effective as a surveillance tool to identify and then intimidate people who are daring to protest.
This should be concerning for everybody, this practice of dissuading dissent.
That's a clip of Robert Scheer and Black Lives Matter founder Alicia Garza from the first episode of the 10-episode docuseries that looks at the ways in which governments break the trust of its citizens, from the surveillance of protesters to state-sponsored malware. Brian Knappenberger is director of Truth and Power. He joins me now. Welcome, Brian.
Thanks for having me.
So a 10-part series essentially on all the ways your government is betraying and screwing you.
I guess that's one
way. Not financially, yeah. But in these other ways.
Yeah. The series is called Truth and Power, and it's basically we look at the sort of personal stories of people fighting abuses of power or going up against these kind of broad institutional failures. So we use as a jumping-off point these stories of these people fighting back and then just use that as an excuse to investigate these things ourselves.
Is there a score? In other words, is fighting back something you can actually do?
Well, I think it's – you know, these are courageous kind of underdog stories. I mean, they really are not fair fights, but these are people that are using innovation and tenacity really are kind of making a difference, or at least sort of fighting for the information that's at the heart of these kinds of abuses.
I remember the famous phrase that if elections – could actually change anything in a democracy, they would be immediately made illegal. And you learn a lesson like that repeatedly in this series, in that the quickest way to get the attention of government surveillance and the authorities is to often exercise your democratic rights. And that's the story here with activist DeRay McKesson. Let's hear a clip.
We know that we've always been targets of the state, either violently or in terms of them using these methods to learn more about us and track us, but that doesn't deter us.
Soon after this interview, activist DeRay McKesson learned just how much he was being personally tracked. Documents provided through the Freedom of Information Act showed that the cybersecurity firm ZeroFox was watching him, assessing his influence, and then feeding that information to the city of Baltimore.
There you hear Maggie Gyllenhaal, your narrator, in one of the episodes of Truth and Power, talking about the experience of DeRay McKesson. Tell us that story.
Right. So that episode is about Black Lives Matter, that movement, I think one of the most important, you know, social justice movements of our time, certainly of the 21st century. And we chart how they've used kind of digital tools, similar to what you were just saying, to mobilize and to organize, but also how those tools have been used against them in all sorts of ways. You know, we look back at civil rights movements of the past and how programs like COINTELPRO, you know, surveillance was the go-to tactic with those programs, seeing who was meeting at what time and using other kinds of things in order to derail those movements. Now, I think we find ourselves in a time where something very similar is happening. But what's new is we have these new tools, new ways of communicating. So there's this part of that story that's historical and part that's very new. You know, what he's talking about there is their kind of growing awareness about both government actors surveilling them and also these private companies, as noted in the clip, ZeroFox, these sort of independent contractors who often do some of this dirty work.
And you can market to sell products, to basically get clients like the city of Baltimore to buy tools that allow you to harass people and watch them while they're exercising their democratic rights. And in a land of free speech, a commercial like this is completely legal.
Is passive monitoring enough? You need more. You want to look through your target's eyes. You have to hack your target. Rely on us.
I mean, that is so frightening. Act now and we'll throw in a satellite that will allow you to see entire countries. I mean that's right. Really what's going on there.
Yeah, that was that we were amazed when we found that commercial for these products, sort of unabashedly selling these tools. But what that shows is really a billion-dollar industry in spy tools. And that's basically, we cover that in our second episode about government-sponsored spyware. And specifically, that's an ad for a company called The Hacking Team. And what was so amazing about that episode for us is that we actually got an interview with the Hacking Team as we were investigating this. We asked them about this stuff.
I'm sure they were proud of themselves.
And they were proud of themselves, very unapologetic about it. And I think the most controversial aspects of this is that they are actively, or were actively, we suspected at the time, selling this stuff to some pretty awful regimes. But when we got the interview, we asked them about the sales to these countries and to these dictators, these kind of awful regimes. And they said, no, we vet all this stuff very carefully. We don't sell to really bad actors.
We, of course, take some pains to examine the potential clients before we even make a deal with them to make sure that they're people that we feel comfortable doing business with.
In the middle of us creating the show, it's kind of amazing, Hacking Team was itself hacked. 400 gigabytes of their own company data, their internal communications, were just dumped online. And so we were in this very bizarre position that you don't find yourself all the time as a journalist, of having an interview with people saying one thing and then just having their internal communications dumped online and being able to sort of cross-reference. And of course, they were selling to some pretty awful people.
Woodward and Bernstein had that experience a few generations ago. Yes. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I mean, there is an agnostic quality to this technology in that the worms, the malware, the algorithms that take down your computer, they don't particularly care if it's an angel that's inserting it into, you know, some evil dictator's computer, or if it's the other way around, the evil dictator is trying to, you know, take down a civil rights organization or a humanitarian NGO.
That's right. And they're not particularly concerned with geographical borders either. If you're somebody in the United States protesting one of these regimes, there's a pretty good chance you could get tracked with the same tools.
What do you think of the participant media model? Jeff Skoll, who was a former president of eBay, created this foundation, funds feature films, and at least seems to be committed to a principle that the creation of content can also create activism.
Yeah.
Do you believe that?
I do. I mean, it's sort of at the core of sort of what I think a journalist or a filmmaker has to believe sometimes in the face of long odds. But yes, I think getting information out to the public is the key to active participation in a democracy. You know, I think that's probably one of the key battles of our time. You know, how do we figure out what's going on in secret? How do we better know what's happening and educate ourselves so that we can participate in a democracy?
Brian Knappenberger, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Brian Knappenberger is director of Truth and Power, which premieres today on Pivot.